The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
If you don't have respect in American democracy anymore, if you don't respect Madisonian checks and balances, if your guy doesn't win, if that's the new rules of engagement for this great republic, then just leave our country because you're unworthy of it. Get the facts, live in the light, follow the truth, and love this country and stop this. Or leave. If you're going to believe a reality TV show host's lies about the American Republic.
And so the meltdown continues. A little bit of too much coffee for Mr. Scarborough this morning. That was from his morning show today. And he's commenting on the Arizona audit. The fact that there's a recount going on. And he says, if you believe Donald Trump, then you don't belong here. You don't belong in the United States of America. In fact, as part of that clip, the part we didn't play, he says that you ought to be replaced by the migrants that are streaming into the country. Get rid of the Trump supporters and then just open the border. Wide open for anyone and everyone from Central and South America. That's what he thinks about you if you happen to support Donald Trump. Total meltdown. And it's one of many, as we've played for you on this program, Rachel Maddow from a couple weeks ago. And the reason for this, as I'll get into here in just a bit, is that they're very, very concerned. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can get to the live stream on this for this program on our website, thetrumpet.com/. And you can also email us, td@thetrumpet.com. That's a new email address. And if you want to write to the old email address, we still get those. In fact, I think they're both going to be coming into one inbox. But we changed the name since we're expanding onto other platforms. We thought we would not have the address say KPCG. Instead, it says TD for Trumpet Daily at thetrumpet.com. So we'll be able to plug the daily show and, of course, the website once we go on to all of these other platforms on Monday. Those programming notes from yesterday, I'll just reiterate some of that that information. We're going on CRN Digital Talk Radio on Monday. And as I explained yesterday, we're going to try to stream live, not just on our website and over the air here in central Oklahoma, but we're going to try to stream live onto this CRN digital radio talk radio service as well. So we're going to try to cater to them. If there's a little bit of a delay or an extra promo on Monday morning from 11 to 11:05, you'll understand why. But hopefully we'll be able to lock right in with them. And I think it's 11 million households that this service serves, so we'll certainly be excited about any feedback we get from new listeners going forward. And then the other thing that I mentioned yesterday as well is we will be starting a Sunday program on a radio station in Phoenix, Arizona. That's KFNX 1100 on the AM dial, KFNX in Phoenix, Arizona. And that will play Sunday morning at 11 a.m. That's Phoenix time. So right now they're running 2 hours earlier than Central Oklahoma time or the Central Standard Time, 3 hours earlier than the East Coast. So if you want to go to the Google the website for KFNX in Phoenix And I believe they offer a live stream service. So you can either listen to, be audio only, of course, but you could either listen to the audio through that stream, the radio station, at 11 o'clock Phoenix time Sunday morning, or we'll post the recording that we'll make for that this afternoon. We're actually going to tape it just a little while after this program today finishes. So either way, you can get to the program. If you can't get to it live, like with all these programs that we produce, you can surely get to the podcast later. And of course, if it's at our website, you'll also have the advantage of watching the video, because we're going to present it just like that we do for this particular show. The station, though, will just take the audio file. I also thought I would mention, it's kind of sneaking up on us, the Celtic throne. All of my years as a Celtic fan when I was a teenager, it still comes back to haunt me when I try to pronounce our wonderful show, Celtic Throne. That's Celtic with a hard K. Celtic Throne is going on tour beginning in a week and a half. We start actually here in Edmond, Oklahoma on Sunday, May the 30th. But then from there we go to Irving, Texas, then back to Edmond, then Austin, Texas, Amarillo, Birmingham, Alabama, then Nashville, Memphis, Little Rock, and Tulsa. So if you go to CelticThrone.com, you can see all of those tour dates there, and you can order tickets, I think, for all of the shows, except for Tulsa. I didn't see that one posted this morning. But if you're a Trumpet Daily listener and you live anywhere near some of those cities I just listed off, you need to make sure you secure your seats, and you got to do it fast, because some of these arenas, they're still, you know, having some social distancing in place, so the arenas might only be half full, or we might only be able to fill it up halfway. I think that's the way it is in Irving, Texas. So if you want to go to that show or one of them, get your tickets soon. And you may even be able to see me or my producer, Sam Livingston, as he walks through the hall getting some audio feedback from some of you watching the show. So a lot to look forward to throughout the month of June. As I say, that's coming up real quick. We've got our show kicking off. And I should add, by the way, that this, if you saw the live stream, and we'll also make that available for a small fee, I believe, as well, if you can't attend one of these cities. But in addition to what we put on last summer, if some of you saw that production, we're adding some narration to this particular production, and we also have added an entirely new dance, a duet, as part of the Celtic Throne production as well. So the overall show will be a little bit longer than it was last year as well. So you'll probably hear me plugging that all next week, particularly as we go on to CRN, in the hope that we can get the message out and give some publicity to this program that all of our young people are working very hard in preparing for. Even as I speak, they're practicing. So that's coming up, as I say, in a week and a half. So you heard Joe Scarborough, his meltdown. And as I've said over and again, hey, what's the problem? It's just a recount. It's just recounting the ballots in an election that saw Joe Biden win, really, in looking at the Electoral College, almost by a landslide, the most popular president in the history of the United States. He won by a comfortable margin of 6 million votes even. So what's to worry about? Why are they concerned? Why are they in full meltdown mode? Why over a recount of all things? Well, because you have a third party and you have some Republican involvement, and they have control of the ballots and the machines. And so they're very, very concerned. Here's Joe Scarborough from earlier today, clip 15.
You know, there's Bamboo Ninja, who is saying bamboo is in the paper. And so China sent the ballots over, and it's rigged. It's just such nonsense. They think Republicans running Arizona, Maricopa County, and Republicans running the Georgia election are going to rig those elections. And you look at the vote counts county by county, and it's just lazy and it's stupid. It's a lazy, stupid conspiracy theory. And I say it's lazy because all people would have to do is just do about 5 minutes of investigating when they see these lies spewed at them, and they would know the truth.
Yeah, that's all it takes, just 5 minutes. 5 minutes of investigating, and you see it as a lie, just like that. No problem. Okay, well then let them count. If it's so obvious, if it's so easy, then let them keep counting. And of course they are. They're continuing the count. Monday, they took this week off because they had the arena had some other engagements for graduations and such. But Monday, it resumes. And so here they come again with all the talk about the bamboo residue. There's bamboo in the ballots, says Joe Scarborough. Think back over this past week, even going before this week. It was the president of the Senate. What's her name again? Karen Fan. She sends this letter to the election officials. Katie Hobbs, she's the Secretary of State. She's a radical Democrat. So she sends this letter and she says, okay, there's these three areas where there's some pretty serious irregularities. And we'd like to call a public hearing for Tuesday, this Tuesday that we just passed. And what did that trigger? That triggered another meltdown, basically, on Monday. As these election officials in Maricopa County, they came before the microphones, they denounced this audit, they said that you've got to stop this audit immediately because it's a dangerous threat to America. And that's really the tone that Joe Scarborough took this morning. This is dangerous. In fact, if you believe Donald Trump, you don't even belong here. You deserve to leave the country. So says Joe Scarborough. This audit needs to be shut down immediately. So say the election officials in Maricopa County. Listen, and you can see why, that simultaneously with this meltdown mode that they're in, they're also screaming for a January 6th commission because they want to keep that false narrative in the news. And they're related, remember, because it was President Trump who in that speech called for the violent insurrection because of the election steal. And so they have they've got everything pinned on the January 6th narrative, and they're doing everything that they can to blot out the audit, to blot out the recount. This is their strategy. Listen again to Joe Scarborough from this morning, clip 16.
They're desecrating American institutions. They're desecrating all the things that the American flag is a symbol of. So you will fight to the death for the symbol. You just won't give a damn for a second about the thing that symbol stands for.
Wow. So he's upset. And if you didn't notice, while he's in the midst of that rant there, the chyron at the bottom of the page, it said, Arizona Secretary of State warns against using voting machines inspected in the GOP audit. The Arizona Secretary of State has come out, this came out yesterday, and has said, we might not be able to use those machines ever again. This is from the Washington Post. It says, Arizona Secretary of State Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, the state's chief elections officer, advised Maricopa County Thursday, so that would be yesterday afternoon, that it should replace all voting machines that were turned over to a private contractor for an audit of the 2020 presidential election, citing, quote, grave concerns regarding the security and integrity of the machines that makes them unusable for future elections. I mean, this is rich. This is rich. This comes from the same people who've been telling us for 6 months that everything was perfect. The machines are perfect. They weren't connected to the internet, so they couldn't have been hacked in any way. It was impossible. And now they turn the machines over, and there's other people examining the machines. And what does she come out and say? It's insecure. Now they're in danger of being hacked. We can't be sure. Because of these people conducting the audit. You see, when they control the hardware, everything works perfect and it's totally secure. And when they don't control the hardware, everything is insecure and far from perfect. In fact, it's so dangerous that we're going to have to throw away, not just reformat the drives or anything like that. They've got to throw away the machines. It's been tampered with, don't you know? It says here in the Washington Post, in her letter, Hobbs wrote that after the machines were handed over to the Senate and Cyber Ninjas, they're the boogeyman, Cyber Ninjas, it is unclear what, this is quoting Hobbs, it is unclear what, if any, procedures were in place or followed to ensure physical security and proper chain of custody. Like I said, you can't make this, it's so rich. Now they're very concerned about chain of custody. Now they're very concerned about making sure someone's right there watching over the machine 24/7. And so much so that they're going to throw away the machines. This is reported in the Washington Post last night. It says she noted that no election official or observer was allowed to remain with the machines while Cyber Ninjas and its subcontractors examined them. The lack of physical security and transparency means we cannot be certain who assessed the voting equipment or accessed the voting equipment and what might have been done to them, she wrote, advising that the county should acquire new machines to ensure secure and accurate elections in Maricopa County going forward. New machines, not ones that just need to be re-examined or reformatted or whatever, but new machines. They're going to throw them all away, I guess. Physically throw them all away. And so how revealing is this? They're already preparing you for the fact that, well, obviously the machines were tampered with. After saying for 6 months that it was impossible for the machines to be tampered with. Now this is what they're going with. Now the machines are so bad, they got to throw them away. Can you believe this? It says Megan Gilbertson, a spokeswoman for the county elections department, said in a statement that the department was working with our attorneys on next steps, costs, and what will be needed to ensure only certified equipment is used in Maricopa County. And then it quotes her as saying, "We will not use any of the return tabulation equipment unless the county, state, and vendor are confident that there is no malicious hardware or software handled on the device." You can't make this up. Now they're worried about hacks. Now they're worried about the machines and software even. When we were talking about this after November 3rd, in November and December, what happened on social media? What happened with YouTube? What happened with Facebook? You were censored. You were deleted. You were blotted out. And look at how the tables have turned. Now they don't have control over the ballots and the machines like they've had all along. And so you see meltdowns now on a daily basis, whether it's at the press conference on Monday or this morning on Morning Joe. Why are they so concerned? Why are they calling it un-American even? It's like you're guilty of treason just for counting through the ballots. They're finding the evidence. That's why. And for 6 months, these talking heads have been saying it was perfect, totally secure. And now they know they're about to be exposed. And so they're throwing tantrums. They're reverting back to what they were saying for months, even years leading up to the election in 2020. That these machines are vulnerable, that the software is vulnerable to hack, that it's, in fact, it's easy to hack. Back in February, I played you clips from this HBO special from last March, a year ago, a little over a year ago. The documentary was called Kill Chain, and it had politicians from both sides of the aisle, but most of them were Democrats. We'll have to play some of those clips again for you. You hear one Democrat after another Democrat saying, this is dangerous to turn over elections to a third party, this company that's headquartered in Toronto or that has connections to Venezuela or whoever. No, we shouldn't do that. And then Joe Biden miraculously wins on November 3rd. And what have we heard for 6 months? Why this was the most perfect election in the history of the United States. Someone put together this montage. I don't know the source, so I apologize for not giving the hat tip here. But this is from Gab. It's similar to Twitter. And it's a montage of experts. You should know, these are the experts before November the 3rd. Here's what they were saying about how easy it is to hack into an American election, to tamper with the results. Clip 17.
I know America's voting machines are vulnerable because my colleagues and I have hacked them repeatedly. We've created attacks that can spread from machine to machine like a computer virus and silently change election outcomes. And in every single case, we've found ways for attackers to sabotage machines and to steal votes.
Early voters in Georgia in 2018 saw machines deleting votes and switching them to other candidates.
Studies conducted in 2007 by the state of California, state of Ohio, state of Florida found security vulnerabilities that could take advantage of these to engineer viruses, where one compromised voting machine could then infect eventually the entire fleet of machines for an entire county. Typically, at the end of the election day, you move a memory card through each of the machines in the precinct, and that's to collect the vote totals. That process can spread a virus. And there are other processes. The details vary from machine to machine.
And you say hacked. What were they able to do once they gained access to the machines?
Oh, all sorts of things. They could manipulate the outcome of the vote. They could manipulate the tally. They could delete the tally. And they could compromise the vote in any number of ways.
The machines used in Georgia have been demonstrated to be hackable through a virus that's carried on ballot definition cartridges, very much like the Stuxnet virus was inserted into nuclear centrifuges in Iran.
There are a number of states that outsource their reporting of elections to third parties, some of which are corporations based in other countries like Spain. So you've got to trust that the aggregation of the votes and the reporting of the votes is accurate as well.
I'm pretty sure my undergrad computer security class at Michigan could have changed the outcome of the 2016 Michigan election if we wanted to. It is that bad. And we have a combination of very powerful adversaries and unfortunately quite vulnerable and obsolete systems. That's why I say it's only a matter of time.
Unfortunately, in a lot of these systems, the audit trails are just as vulnerable as the other aspects of the system, so there may not be good forensic evidence of a successful intrusion. With the current design, we cannot be universally confident that it hasn't happened. And it's probably only a matter of time before it will.
So say the experts. So say the experts. It was like a broken record. And again, I would urge you, if it's even still available, that documentary Kill Chain, it makes for some captivating viewing for sure. It's produced in March of 2020. So we've come full circle. Yeah, it's only a matter of time. Everything is vulnerable. There's outside parties even involved, and we've got to rely upon them being truthful and honest. The machines, they can malfunction. Software, it can be hacked. And then 2020, November the 3rd, is perfect. And the head of cybersecurity for the federal government, he said it was so perfect. The most perfect election in history. And now you finally get around to an official, a real, legitimate audit. And we've come full circle, haven't we? Now they're crying foul. Now they're saying we can't trust the machines. We're going to have to throw them out. We're going to have to get rid of them. This is from the Washington Post. It says the warning from Hobbs, that's the Secretary of State over in Arizona, comes as election officials around the country contend with calls by Donald Trump's supporters to launch their own Arizona-style reviews of the vote tallies in their communities. So the thing is, it's spreading. You've got Vernon Jones, as I mentioned yesterday or the day before. He's going to run for governor. He's going up against Governor Kemp in Georgia. And he's running on the campaign of let's audit the election. And so let's see. Let's see what the people of Georgia want. What do you think it'll be? And then you've got the announcement to last weekend from Wisconsin. Yeah, we too. We want to have an official audit. And we think it'll be done this fall. However long it takes, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's set the minds of Americans at ease. If there was nothing wrong with it, if there was no foul play, well, then it'll, at least it'll set people at ease. And so the meltdowns are happening because it's spreading. That's why. It's spreading from Arizona to Georgia to Wisconsin to Pennsylvania. It says here, Hobbs wrote that she did not make the costly recommendation lightly. This recommendation that they just throw away the machines. Listen to this, if you can believe it. This is in the Washington Post yesterday. Hobbs wrote that she did not make the costly recommendations lightly, but said she had consulted with experts. You mean like the ones we just saw in that montage? She consulted with experts, including at the Department of Homeland Security's Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency. That's CISA. CISA. That's Chris Krebs, his agency, the one he headed up before he stepped down after the election, after the perfect election. So CISA, they said, yeah, this is the right move. I think you better throw away the machines. Throw away the machines? Those are perfect machines. You can't hack those machines. They're perfect. They were never hooked up to the internet. They were all standalone machines. Totally secure. That's what we were told, right? So many lies. I mean, just nonstop. Lies, cover up. And on it goes. When we come back, let's actually take a short break. And when we come back, we'll shift gears a little bit and see if we can cover a little bit more news in the next 10 minutes or so. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
I'm proud today. I'm proud today. We're the United States of America. We're good and decent people.
Says the man who wants the public school system to teach your children that America is systemically racist. He's proud. Proud of what? We're a good and decent people? A good and decent racist people? Is that what we are? I want to take you through an article. Andrew Miller wrote this just a couple of weeks ago at thetrumpet.com. By the way, I'm looking at the CRN website, crntalk.com. If you'd like to go over and visit, this is the new platform that we're joining on Monday. But at crntalk.com, you can see a little ad there in the middle of the page for The Trumpet Daily. So it's already getting some publicity, which we're very excited about. As I say, we'll see how that goes next week. We're not expecting an avalanche of response or support. There you can see the page. A nice shot there of The Trumpet Daily. And that will be on their platform Monday morning at 11 a.m. Oklahoma time, noon on the East Coast, and of course, 9 o'clock out West. So this article by Andrew Miller It's from May the 10th. And it says here, few people outside academia had ever heard of critical race theory before President Donald Trump banned the teaching of this malign ideology to federal employees. So Donald Trump banned it. Donald Trump said, we're not going to have this taught to our employees. We're not going to teach them that America is corrupt at its core, that it started, the nation began in 1619 with slavery. That was the foundation of everything. We're not going to teach that the founding documents need to be trashed, trampled on. So he banned it. It says now you can barely make it a week without reading some headline about this philosophy. Joe Biden rescinded President Trump's executive order on his first afternoon in the Oval Office. He rescinded the order. He said, no, we're actually going to teach critical race theory. We actually want this. We actually want to teach our children, federal employees, everybody, that America's a racist country. And look at how other nations have picked up and ran with that. China just humiliating us in Alaska, that meeting up in Anchorage not too long ago. All of this self-hate. This is what they want in schools. This, as I say, this is what they want to teach your children. That was something he did on the first day. How revealing. The fake president, Joe Biden, rescinded President Trump's executive order on his first afternoon in the Oval Office. Now he wants to pay schools to teach ideas from the New York Times 1619 Project and from critical race theorist Ibram Kendi. Andrew Miller says here, on April 19, the Department of Education announced that officials are setting aside $5.3 million in taxpayer money for K-12 schools to teach that America is systemically racist. And so when he says yesterday that we're a good and decent people, it just kind of rings hollow, doesn't it? Look at the actions. Look at the fruits. Look at the words. In fact, if you listen to that same speech from yesterday, there's parts of it where I think it's a little truer to what he's been doing as opposed to what he once in a while will say. This is clip 11.
Every time we're silent, every time we let hate flourish, we make a lie of who we are as a nation. I mean it literally.
So he got a little hot under the collar himself yesterday on another subject, Joe Scarborough. He took the baton and ran with it this morning. There's a lot of anger and resentment in these radical Marxist revolutionaries. Now he's the puppet, as we've said so many times. He's the one out front of that fake presidency, Obama's third term. Andrew Miller says here, Marxism was built on the theory of class conflict. Karl Marx believed that the only way to end poverty was for the working class to overthrow the capitalist class in a violent revolution. But Marxism only became popular in feudal societies like Russia and China, where the people were poor and desperate enough to risk everything in a people's revolution. In free market societies like the U.S., people could escape poverty through education, hard work, and good citizenship. So the theory of class conflict never took root in the U.S. like it did in Asia, Africa, and Latin America. But then listen to this. It says, rather than give up on their dream for a socialist society, Marxist scholars in the U.S. substituted race for class and sought to create a revolutionary coalition of ethnic minorities against a white majority. In 1989, Kimberly Crenshaw organized a retreat titled New Developments in Critical Race Theory that effectively created a new kind of communism where race conflict replaced class conflict in the quest to overthrow free market capitalism and replace it with socialism. So it just comes under a different label, but it's the same Marxist infiltration. And you can see it when you look at the founding statements of groups like BLM. And you can see it too in just the everyday back and forth that we see across our society, what's getting into our educational bloodstream. It's everywhere. I mentioned, I think the other day, the Chicago mayor who came out and said, Yeah, I'm only going to take sit-down interviews with people who are black or brown. No whites allowed. And, of course, most of the reporters working at City Hall there in Chicago are white. So they're understandably furious. But they're part of the problem. They've been promoting this and promoting it and promoting it. And now look at what's happening. Now they're being shut out. Now they're being canceled. And then when she gets some criticism, the Chicago mayor, she just doubles down. I mean, it doesn't faze her. She's got her radical racist position, and she goes forward with it. This is Mayor Lightfoot yesterday, clip two.
Oh, look, I think in this one day, when we are looking at the two-year anniversary of my inauguration, as a woman of color, as a lesbian, it's important to me that diversity is put front and center.
She's got to preach, and then she's got to act as well. Unless there's diversity, I'm shutting out the white reporters. We need more reporters of color, she said. She went on to say this, clip three.
If I, as the black woman mayor, the first ever, don't challenge us, the collective us, to do better, to really make sure that in every institution it reflects the diversity and nuance and texture of our city, then shame on me.
Shame on her if she doesn't practice these racist policies, if she doesn't make them part of policies at City Hall in Chicago. So, in other words, the message is some forms of racism is just fine. It's just fine. You're not going to be denounced or canceled. Certainly not. If you're attacking Jews right now in Manhattan or Los Angeles, that's okay. That's okay. I guess the media they were a little hot and bothered by the attacks on Asians there for about 2 seconds until they found out that blacks were leading the way in attacking Asians. So that's okay now, too. You can attack Jews, you can attack Asians, and you certainly can attack whites because they're part of the problem. They're the founders. They're the majority. They're systemically racist. Some forms of racism are okay. That's all part of the message that comes through loud and clear with critical race theory. There, you just heard from that Chicago mayor. That's critical race theory on display. That's coming from a prominent public official. It's right out there and out in the open. And it's what Joe Biden wants to work. It's Joe Biden's wish that it works its way all through the educational system as well. And they're making some pretty significant gains in that area. When we come back, we'll conclude our program today with a study into the third chapter of Isaiah. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Every particle of human suffering, unhappiness, misery, and death has come solely from the transgression of God's immutable law. Obedience to God's law liberates us from all unhappiness, pain, and suffering. It frees us from captivity, from spiritual slavery. Obeying God's commandments guarantees a life overflowing with joyful abundance. For much more on this subject, request a free copy of The Ten Commandments. When you make your request, don't forget to enroll in the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This 36-lesson course is a distance learning program that will help you to get to know your Bible. Each month, you will receive a lesson that guides you in discovering the answers to life's most important questions, all from your own Bible. Your enrollment has already been paid for. Enroll today. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
On yesterday's show, we examined the source of all of our problems today, that nature in man, influenced by Satan the devil, human nature, we call it. And that's why the prophet Isaiah says, cease you from man. Man doesn't have the solution. He's the problem. That's what your Bible says. And Isaiah is not alone. As I said yesterday, Jeremiah said it. Paul did in Romans 8. Isaiah 3:1, notice this. It says, for behold, the Eternal, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water. So the Isaiah booklet brings out how that we're just going to lose everything. We've abandoned God, so we're out on our, it's like we're on an island, out on our own, and it's leading to total disaster. Verse 2, it says, the mighty man, the man of war, the judge, and the prophet, and the prudent, and the ancient, and the captain of 50, and the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator, and all the great leaders of old, the honorable men, the counselors, the orators, the great speakers of yesteryear, like Winston Churchill, courageous and bold. And it talks a lot about the leadership in the military as well, generals. Where are the great generals today? In so many ways, the U.S. military, and the same is true with Britain. They're now woke. There was this, I didn't have much time to look into this Russian commercial, and you can hear for yourself. I assume it's legit. But you just put the Russian advertisement for the Russian army and play it alongside one of the latest coming from the U.S. Army. And really, it tells you everything that you need to know about what's wrong with the U.S. military today. Listen to clip 12.
Твоей новой жизни. Что ты знаешь о себе? На что ты способен? Вопросы могут остаться без ответов, но разве ты должен знать себя? Познать границы своих возможностей. К черту границы. А без боя нет победы. Но на самом деле, главный враг — это задача выследить врага. Догнать его, превзойти, стать лучше, чем он.
It begins in California, with a little girl raised by two moms. I also marched for equality. I like to think I've been defending freedom from an early age. To marry my other mom. With such powerful role models, I finished high school at the top of my class. And after meeting with an army recruiter, I found it. A way to prove my inner strength. I'm U.S. Army Corporal Emma Malone Lord, and I answered my calling.
As I say, it tells you everything you need to know just watching it. Of course, you can't make it out just with the audio, but if you watch this in podcast form after the fact, look at those Russian military men, and then compare it with the ad that followed. Embarrassing. It's embarrassing. Where are the strong men? And why are we pushing our ladies, our moms, our mothers, our daughters? Why are we pushing them to the front lines? Joe Biden, when he gave that dreadful speech to the Coast Guard the other day, he was saying how we've got to make it half and half. Really? Is that what we want? A military that's half female? Is that what equality means? To get as many women in there so that they can be shipped off to Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere else? And possibly die in battle? Is that what we want for our women? Well, you listen to those commercials. You listen to the fake president of the United States. And I guess so. For a lot of people, I guess so. Well, real men from a few generations ago, they certainly wouldn't have said those things. But well, now we're woke, you see. We've awakened. So much so that we want a young woman right there, shoulder to shoulder, with men and women, among the Marines, Navy SEALs, U.S. military. God says what? God says the mighty man, the man of war, they've been taken away. It's a curse, you see. And he continues, the prophet Isaiah, he says in verse 4, "And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them." Ruled by children. Ruled by a mentality that's like a little child. This is what it says in our Churchill booklet. It says, "We are so childish that we are almost totally unaware of our lack of real leaders." See, we're so childish, we look at that little ad and think, well, isn't that nice? Isn't that great? We can send her off to the front lines. And we can promote lesbianism, transgenderism, and all those things at the same time. It says here, "We fail to see it as a curse from God." Isn't that ever the truth? "No great nation can survive without strong leadership. Childish leaders lack the will to face strong tyrants. Our will is broken in our leaders, exactly as God prophesied. When will we face the brutal truth about ourselves and then repent?" It says, "People who have faith in God never have a weak will." Well, instead, we certainly don't see faith in God. We see a lot of weakness. We see a weak will. We see a United States administration at the moment, the fake one, that says to Russia and Germany, as I brought out yesterday, "Yeah, sure. You want pipelines? You want to rely on oil, fossil fuels and all that? Fine, that's no problem. Over here, I mean, we're going to shut those things down because the future is electric automobiles. But just step aside, let Germany and Russia, surely let those countries have whatever they want." Joe Biden's happy to oblige. It says in verse 1 again, "For behold, the Eternal, the Lord of hosts, does take away from Jerusalem and from Judah." So Jerusalem there represents Israel, Ephraim and Manasseh, the United States and Britain primarily. My father says, "And notice the nation is falling apart at the same time. There isn't even enough bread." God takes away the leadership, the mighty man, all that. Children are ruling. And then it says he's taking away the stay and the staff, the whole stay of bread and water. I mean, that's dangerous. That's not good. These are, like I've said in this little series on Isaiah, when God sends a prophet to warn, and we know it's for the end time, Isaiah 30 and verse 8 says that, but when God sends a prophet to warn, he does it because there are a lot of problems in the nation. There's a lot of problems in the world, and so a prophet warns in love. Read through Ezekiel 33. That would make another great study. Talks about the watchman seeing the sword rise, and he's out there sounding the alarm because he loves his people. He loves his country. He tells the truth even when it's not popular. In this chapter, it's a well-known chapter, Isaiah 3, I mean, we see where this crisis in leadership is taking us. It's leading to our destruction and ruin. That's where it's headed. What a dysfunctional government we've become at the educational system, certainly the economic system. So much dysfunction. Verse 5, it says, "And the people shall be oppressed, everyone by another, and everyone by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable." So much disrespect. I mean, it starts with children. You can see that here. How does the child behave? Proudly against the ancient. There's no respect and honor for the elderly, for those in positions of authority, the wise, the hoary head, parents, grandparents, law enforcement. What we're seeing is a total breakdown. Satan's been educating our youths, because the parents, for generations now, we haven't been doing our jobs. Look at what we've raised up, if you can even say that. In many cases, it's just let him go, let him drift along. And then now they've got all the phones and the gadgets and so on. Parents may say, well, I don't have time to raise my kids, really. I'll just try to make a living so that they can have their things. But let me tell you, Satan makes time for them. Satan's after them. Satan wants to get them as early as possible so that he can plant these seeds of disrespect and rebellion, of hatred and evil and all kinds of filth. Verse 6, it says, when a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, you have clothing, be you our ruler, and let this ruin be under your hand. See, God says the problems are going to get so bad that nobody wants to rule. So it is going to get worse, because there's still plenty of people right here in the United States that think, well, if we could just get Donald Trump back in, everything's solved. Well, he's coming back in. But it's not going to solve everything. Far from it, in fact. What have we studied this past week? Cease you from man. Don't put your trust and your faith in man. Trust God. Put your faith and trust and hope in God. Verse 8, it says, for Jerusalem is ruined and Judah is fallen. Jerusalem is a type of Israel. Israel today, Israel in the last days, the lost tribes of Israel that became the United States and Britain and others there in northwestern Europe as well. It says, because their tongue and their doings are against the eternal to provoke the eyes of his glory, God says Jerusalem is ruined. I mean, he speaks of it as if it's already occurred. As if it's already happened. He knows what we're bringing on ourselves. Look at what we're allowing. Look at the attack that we've allowed from within, this communist infiltration, this communist attack on America's founding institutions. There are quite a few, even in government, that are quite happy to just step aside and let it play out. Never mind the attack. Never mind the fraud, never mind the stealing, never mind the waste, the out-of-control spending. Never mind what we're leaving for our children and our grandchildren. Just get what you can while you can get it. Just look out for your own. Every man for himself. Verse 9, it says, the show of their countenance does witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. That's brought out in chapter 1. God says, you rulers of Sodom and Gomorrah. Here it says about society as a whole. They declare their sin as Sodom. They're so proud of it. They're so proud of homosexuality and transgenderism. They're so proud of the kind of equality, quote unquote, that would thrust our women, our daughters, to the front lines of combat. Shame on us. But we're so proud of it. They declare their sin as Sodom and hide it not. It says, woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. We've rewarded ourselves with evil. It all gets back to our transgressions, our sins, our many iniquities. Verse 12, we've read this verse often over the years. It says, as for my people, God is addressing Israel. As you can see in the first chapter, remember we studied in those first few verses where God says, my children, an ox knows his owner, but my children don't know me. My own children, they don't know the Father in heaven. They don't know about the God family, and they should. They've been taught this. They don't know. Here he says, as for my people, children are their oppressors. You can look into that word. It means to tyrannize. Children oppress, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. It's a crisis in leadership And it's leading to a total breakdown in our society. It's leading to our destruction and ruin. Mr. Armstrong talked about this being a greater threat, the breakdown of the family, a greater threat to our society than even the nuclear bomb, of all things. Look at what we're doing to ourselves. He says in The Missing Dimension in Sex, by the way, that the predominant influence of this teenage or youth culture is sex and violence. And we certainly get a steady diet of that in the West. Sex, fornicating, adultery, that kind of relationship, and of course violence to go with it. It says in verse 17, therefore the Eternal will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughter of Zion, and the Eternal will discover their secret parts. So God has to correct, God has to expose, and we need this because he wants us to repent. In the Isaiah booklet, it says, God's church and the nations of Israel are destroying the physical family, which should be patterned after the God family. Soon all nations shall flow to Zion, where God's family law is taught. And of course, you can see about that or read more about that in Isaiah 2, which we went through a couple days ago as well. That's all, though, that we have time for on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. You can email the show, td@thetrumpet.com. Thank you for joining us today. Thanks for joining us all week, and we'll see you next week.